we were talking about this landmark CAS report from 4 years of research into gender clinics. And again, over here, why is this significant over here? Just because it's the Wild West right now. You've got a federal government, the liberals, saying, well, we stand with trans kids. And absolutely, for social and political reasons, we absolutely need to do that. We can't have people feel disenfranchised. We can't have people feel pushed out from the rest of society. Those are the social and political factors. But what about safety? What about efficacy? What about ethical concerns? What's an age? We have an age of consent for practically everything else, including sexual activity. So we've got a minister of gender that won't even answer a question about whether an 11-year-old should be on puberty blockers or not. I think I know the answer to that, but she won't even say a yes or no. So all this is problematic, and they're ahead of this in the UK. Matt Goodwin is a media commentator and university professor, has a great Substack as well that's worth climbing onto, and he joins us now. Thanks for your patience. Appreciate getting you on.
Thanks, Greg. Good to be with you.
Thank you. It's like I said, this is sort of, I do think a lot of Western democracies, Canada and the United States specifically, Matt, are watching the reaction to this. I think we'd all like a less toxic debate. I think we'd like a clear line of demarcation between what's right for an adult and what's right for a child. Does this report do that?
Well, I think there are two remarkable things about this debate, Greg. The first is the remarkable lack of evidence and rigor that has gone into the whole gender discussion. What this report shows is just how flimsy that evidence base has been with regard to issues like putting kids on puberty blockers, pushing them down a medical pathway towards, changing their gender. But secondly, also what has been pretty startling for me, and I spent last night reading through the report in depth, is the fact that this is the first detailed report really in the world to actually stand back and say, well, let's look at that evidence. So the political debate that we've had, Greg, has really sort of assumed that a lot of this stuff is safe and secure and rooted in a large literature and supporting studies. What this report is, though, is reminding us that actually, you know, there's been very little work that's been done to date across the West saying, actually, is this stuff legitimate? Is it really actually sound to be doing this to kids? And the answer of Dr. Cass is an emphatic no. I mean, she basically is saying we've moved way too fast, way beyond the evidence base. And I think for folks in Canada who are interested in, you know, what we are doing to children in this area, I would just say, go onto the website today, look at the Dr. Cass report, because this is a damning indictment of what's been going on until now.
There's so few other areas of healthcare where professionals have been so fearful to openly discuss their views. I think we could concur. Our parents, certainly our grandparents, they were way behind on important issues of equality for what we'd call the LGBTQ community. They're way behind on where we should be. But this is still a minefield for people to talk about this. So it's really hard to find they get to vote privately. They get to have their own conversations in their own households, Matt. But there is still sort of that public sense that I better watch my step around this topic, right?
Well, there's definitely, you know, chilling effects or self-censorship. People are unwilling to challenge the zeitgeist among the elite and the expert class. But, you know, what makes me so shocked while reading this report? Firstly, we had a number of gender clinics for adults and children who simply refused to collaborate with this report, simply refused to pass over evidence and data, because, as you heard from a previous guest, what they were doing was basically putting ideology ahead of evidence. And so in response to this report already here in Britain, and I'm speaking to you from London, the NHS has come out and said they're going to do another review as to why so many gender clinics here refuse to participate with this CAS review at the very beginning. So look, the expert class are supposed to prioritize evidence. That's why we're supposed to trust them. But what we've got in this particular case is the expert class refusing to pass over evidence and data because they were clearly worried that once people took a look at it, they would say, hang on, this isn't right. And listen, I've taken a look at it. You've mentioned the Substack. I looked at the evidence for puberty blockers, and it's basically one study in the Netherlands which has been misinterpreted, misrepresented by people who are very supportive of giving kids puberty blockers. And look, I'm a university professor. I don't know in what other world, in what other field of research, would these kinds of interventions be allowed on the basis of one flimsy study from the 1990s? And this, to me, has been the most shocking aspect of this report. I think we are going to come back to look at this moment in the West. And we've got a journalist here, Janice Turner, who writes for the Times of London, who's made this argument. She said, we're going to look back at this like we look back at lobotomies. We're going to come back and look at this as child abuse, because what we did was expose kids to treatments, Greg, that there was simply no sufficient evidence base for it. And I would urge everybody to go online to read the Dr. Cass review for themselves. It's independent. It's independent of government. And it's the most detailed report we've got on gender ideology and the effects of this in the West today.
And I worry about that reverb effect, Matt, that you mentioned 6 of 7 adult clinics refuse to take part in the study. And I want adults. And I might even be able to talk into an age a year or two younger than 18. But once you're 18 and you can do everything else, we always make this case in the West, in North America, you can go off to war, you can vote, you can drink, you're obviously driving, you're doing all these things that are adult based. I want these people to be able to be who they are and make the necessary changes and have access to it. But I worry about that even getting rolled back if we're not going to get some form of transparency from these clinics. These clinics are indicating they've got something to hide, and that's not going to help somebody who is an adult who wants to transition.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. What we need here is transparency. We need open discussion. We need scrutiny. We need all of the available evidence and data put onto the table so we can look at it. And we're having parallel conversations in Western democracies about the collapse of trust in established institutions and politics, about the rise of populism, about this anti-establishment sentiment. Well, look, here's a good example of why people are so skeptical of the expert class. Because if they can't just come out and say, here's all the data we've got on the effects this had on kids, here's all the data we've got on what happened to them when they entered adulthood, here's all the evidence that we've got from our own studies, our own internal work, or maybe they're just not even collecting the evidence, which is even more alarming. But this is, look, make no mistake, this is a line in the sand within this debate. And the effects of this report are going to be visible not only in Canada, but in America and Australia. And we will start to see, I hope, the rollback of what is a very radical ideological belief system, which has clearly been putting dogma ahead of evidence. So Dr. Cass has done a good job, I think, on balance. The people overall who wrote this report have done a good job. I just hope other countries around the world, including Canada, now push on and do their own versions of this. Because we're talking about children here, Greg. We're not, we're talking about, our kids. And this is the most important thing in the world. And we need to get it right. We need to be honest and direct, even if some people out there don't like the findings.
Yeah, the federal government here, like I said, has really put no lines of demarcation in. Healthcare is documented by provinces here. So where I am in Toronto, Ontario, the province of Ontario would have more say about what we're doing in schools and what we're doing in hospitals and clinics. Is there a distinction between, you got a big election coming up, so do we a year from now. Is there a distinction between the Labour Party and the Conservatives on this issue, Matt? That's the last thing I'd leave you with. Lay out that for us.
Well, yeah, I mean, the reality is that both parties have basically been going along with this agenda for much of the last 10, 20 years. And we have to remember, as the report points out, there is also a surrounding charity, non-governmental institutional architecture around this issue, whereby non-governmental organizations have also been really vigorously, aggressively promoting some of these things, puberty blockers, medical transitions, and so forth. But even they have been shown now to be really misrepresenting the evidence. So the Labour Party, which is a more, let's say, socially liberal, if not radically progressive party, they're now rowing back very quickly. They've abandoned some of their previous policies like gender self-ID. Canadians might remember the debate in Scotland, where we saw a similar push to allow 16-year-olds to legally change their gender without any supervision. That was dropped. So we are beginning to see some important moves and crucially evidence-led moves that are pushing this belief system back. But the counter to that, Greg, people will say, if you look at the local level, if you look within some of the institutions that are still there, kids are still being exposed to things that aren't safe. And we're just going to have to be very vigilant, and we're going to have to put a lot of scrutiny and a lot of accountability on these institutions to ensure that they get the message of what Dr. Cass was really saying, which is that the practice has moved way beyond where the evidence is.
Check him out at mattgoodwin.org. It's Matt Goodwin joining us from London in the UK. Great to have you on the show here in Toronto, Matt. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Greg.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.